Boston. There was a marathon. 30,000 people run in this marathon every year. 30,000 people. And thousands upon thousands more show up on the sidelines to watch. People were there with their families, with their friends, to support those who were running, to just see it standing around by the thousand. And then in a moment, the day changed. One man had just commented to another, to his friend. He said, "This is the perfect day. Such a beautiful day. We're having such a good time." Minutes later, the bombs went off. Three people killed, about 160 injured. Everything changed. Now, the funny thing was, a lot of people ran away, of course. People running away. But there was also a group of people that ran into the smoke. These people were ready. They didn't know what for. They didn't know why. They knew why. They didn't know. They had planned for something. They didn't know what. But they were ready. And while the others were running away, they ran in to help. That's simply titled my devotional this morning, Be Ready. Now, it's so easy to lose focus in the humdrum of our days when one day follows another, to lose focus of what we're really doing here. And every once in a while, we get jerked up short. But, you know, it's going to be one of these days, it's going to be the last day. And let's not forget it. Mark 13, verse 33. I'm going to read quite a bit this morning. Mark 13, verse 33. Take heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Are we watching this morning? Are we prepared for the coming of the Lord? We think of council meeting or preparatory service as a time when it's time to get our house in order. The things that we've got hanging over us, let's get them taken care of. And by all means, let us do that. If there's something that is unforgiven, forgive it. If there's a problem that you have with somebody, take care of it. If there's something between you and God, repent of it. The Christian walk is a walk. It's not a hop. It shouldn't be a six-month jump where we are right with God here, and now next fall we're going to do the same thing. Let's keep it a walk, people. Let's keep our lamps burning. Let's be ready at all times. There's a young man who worked for us one time. None of you, or very, well, I should say, some of you that worked on the crew at that time know who I'm talking about. None of you are related to him. None of the rest of you know him, I don't believe. But if you're around Andy very much, you'll still hear him quoted. And the quote is, I'll do that right now. You'd come around the corner of the building, and here the person is semi-catatonic. He's no suspended animation. It was really quite incredible to see. Pausing. Something had caught his attention internally. And there he was, just suspended animation. And weren't you supposed to be, I'll do that right now. I'll do it right away. You know, I think that's what we do sometimes with God. Somebody taps us on the shoulder. Oh, yes, do it right away. Let's be doing it. Let's not have the door opened on us and be found not working. Are we? Now at that, I think God has great patience with us, and he does that to us. And every once in a while, we simply suddenly realize that, you know what, I'm not working. It's time for me to do something. But one day, it's going to be that final day. And at that point, we can't say, oh, yes, I'll do that right away. I'll forgive that right away. I'll help my brother right away. I'll give a glass of cold water right away, because it's going to be too late. And what has been done will have been done. One of the great responsibilities that we as Christians have is to spread the word. I'll do it right away. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You're all preachers here this morning. You're all preachers, all of us. We've got good things to tell people, and let's tell them. There was a man last week who was there for a different reason than most people. His son was in the armed forces and had been killed. And it completely devastated this man. Anyway, he was there in support of some other people who were there running, but he had a different frame of mind than a lot of those. And when the bombs went off and people began to run, this man jumped the fence and he landed among bloody bodies. And he reached down, pulled off his shirt, tied it into a tourniquet, and started bandaging people up. There's bloody bodies all around us. People who are hurting, people whose souls are damned. Are we running away? Are we jumping over the fence? I'll do it right now. When the Lord comes back, will he find us quilting and building and setting up businesses, marrying, giving in marriage, eating and drinking, while the world around us bleeds to death? Be ready. And sometimes it takes a tragedy in our own lives to open our eyes to the needs around us. So don't run from those things. When you're hurt, don't harbor that to yourself and turn yourself into a victim. Your eyes have been opened to a new perspective, a hurting person's perspective, and you've got a unique opportunity to help from that perspective. All of us have wounds, some of them much deeper than others. But God's grace is sufficient for all of us. And it's important for our salvation that even those of you who are deeply hurt move beyond the hurt and find the grace of God in your life and then extend that grace to those around you. Luke 12, verse 32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. This is found in Luke 12, by the way, I'm at verse 34. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. Talking about the Passover, how they were to eat it. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, that they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make him to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. You know, sometimes it feels like maybe we're in the 127th watch. It's been a long time. People have said that the Lord is coming for a long, long, long time. Are we ready? It may be in our time. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. Are we playing church here? We've got a nice little community, And I love it. I love the people here. You couldn't ask for better support, better friends, a better environment in which to grow to raise our children, in which to grow old. Is that all it is? Socially, that's a beautiful thing. It's not enough, though. Are we playing church? Showing up, listening to the sermons, commenting in the Sunday school, going home. Life as usual. Young men and young women, there's work to do. Be always ready. The Bible also uses be always ready in another sense. In the sense that when somebody asks you a question, be ready. If there's a need around you, be ready. And the interesting thing is that if we're ready in that sense, we'll be ready in the other sense as well. Ready for the Lord's return. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant saith in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Do you think we know? Do you think we are aware? If, when the Lord comes back, and he says, I never knew you, one of the things I think that we ourselves are going to be forever torturing ourselves in hell with is the knowledge that we knew. The opportunities were right there. And I didn't do anything. I just accepted it as my right. I just took it all in without giving anything back. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom committed men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. One of the things I think that we cannot emphasize enough is the fact that there is an enormous rift between the people of God and the people of this world. It's not something that is as simple as dressing different. It's not as simple as talking different. It's a complete mindset. We are not the same people. We should not be. We're to be new creatures. The Bible says in James 4, From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We cannot be the friend of the world. We cannot think like the world and expect to go any place other than where the world is going. John 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. It's not a popularity contest to see who can be most well-liked by society. be ready. Ezekiel 22, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. We need exclamation points for God. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in saying, well, what's wrong with this or what's right with that? And we make our neat little lists, and as long as they're all checked in, then we say, well, everything must be okay, and I must be ready. That we forget the real focus, focus on the real thing. And that is that it's not so much in our checklists, but in who we are. And the fact is that we can never do enough. Our checklist can never be long enough. And if we approach God with that sort of mentality, we aren't actually approaching him, I don't believe. We have to realize that we are unworthy servants. And we have to keep always vigilant, doing our best in every circumstance. Matthew 25, verse 31, another favorite of mine. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in, naked, and ye clothed me. Sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he say unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Focus. What are we doing here? It's not just to help people's bodies. It's not just to give material help to those. That won't get us into heaven either. But the fact is that when we are led by the Spirit is going to lead us into helping others. And I think it should be a warning sign to us. If we are perfectly satisfied with taking care of ourselves alone, without vision to help those around us. Because that is not the attitude of one who is led by the Spirit. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. You know, one of these days, we're going to look up. And we're going to see this cloud split. And he's going to come back. What a day. I'm going to close with a reading out of Revelation 19. Note the attitude of the people here. Toward the world that was destroyed, or the world system. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great horde, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Doesn't sound like somebody that's making friends with the world, does it? And hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia! And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. His wife hath made herself ready. The bride of Christ is ready right now, this instant. If the heavens should open, the bride of Christ will be there with open arms to welcome Jesus home. Is that you? Is that you this morning? Or we say, I've got something to do, let me do it right now. And her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. Let's be ready. Let's kneel for prayer. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of Jesus. And by his precious shed blood, you've told us we can come boldly to your throne. Father, give us a sense of purpose. Give us a sense of yourself. Help us to always be ready. If there's anything, Lord, between us and you, help us to get rid of it. Help us to walk in your resurrection, walk in your power, walk in your spirit, Lord. Help us to have grace to live in obedience and to live in godly fear and to live in love and to reach out to those who are around us. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.